Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Will Groover. I'm another graduate student from Auburn University. And the presentation of my talk today is yield loss of cotton cultivars due to the reniform nematode and the added benefit of vellum total. So a brief background before we get into some of the data. The nematode that this study deals with is the reniform nematode. This is considered a semi-endoparasitic sedentary nematode. It's found in almost all tropical and subtropical areas. And it's considered to have a really wide host range. I've heard it referred to as having as wide of a range from pineapple all the way to cotton. And typically we'll see this in our soil types that are a little heavy. So anything with a high silt concentration is going to be a pretty good soil that is going to be pretty lead to potential reniform problems. And overall, this is a pretty extremely damaging nematode in Alabama, as well as most states in the southeastern United States. So if we look at where cotton is distributed in the United States, you can see in this left picture, if my mouse, does it show up? Yeah, perfect. if we look here at Alabama, you can see, for the most part, it's pretty evenly distributed throughout the state. And then if we look on the picture on the right, the green counties are where reniform has been confirmed in the United States. You can see there's a pretty even overlap of where we grow cotton in Alabama and where we have found reniform. So most areas in our state have a potential of having a reniform problem. So a little bit of the economic relevance, you know, why do we care about reniform nematodes in the first place? Well, if you look at disease loss estimates, in 2018, we estimated that the United States lost about 200,000 bales of cotton. And if we looked at 71-cent cotton, right around where we are now, that comes out to just under $73 million lost. And then if we focus more on Alabama specifically, we estimated about 3% of our cotton crop was lost this year to reniform, which is about 26,000 bales. Once again, if you price that out based on where prices kind of are, 71 cent, that comes about $9.2 million. And then over the past few years, we've seen similar numbers. So we're leaving a lot of yield on the table for potential losses to reniform. So we know it's a problem. We know we have it. You know, what are we looking for when it comes to our symptoms and signs of reniform? Typically, the first thing you may notice in a field is that you kind of have a reduced growth and yield. You really are just not seeing your cotton perform like you would expect it to based on the inputs that you're putting into it. You may also see some dwarfing or interveinal chlorosis. Not all states that have reniform are reporting this interveinal chlorosis, but this is something we see relatively consistently in Alabama. We've kind of coined it as tiger striping. And then you may see kind of a thinning or a reduction of your feeder roots. So you just have a less healthy root mass than what you would anticipate. So how do we manage this? For nematode management in general, there's typically kind of a three-pronged approach that we focus on. This includes the use of nematicides, implementing a crop rotation, and resistant cultivars. Unfortunately, for reniform in cotton, we don't currently have resistant cultivars, although it sounds like there may be some in the near future, so that would be really great. But for the time being, we really have to focus on our nematicide use and our crop rotations. So for this trial, this took place over the 2017 and 2018 growing season. The goal of this was to evaluate seven commercial upland cotton cultivars in the presence and absence of reniform nematodes. Vellum total, which is a combination of fluipyram and imidacloprid, was added as an in-furrow spray for nematode control. This took place at the Tennessee Valley Research and Extension Center, and this is located up here in the north part of the state in Belmina, Alabama. And the soil type here is a Decatur silt loam, and as I mentioned earlier, you see we have a high silt percentage in this soil type. This is a really favorable soil for reniform reproduction. So more about the experimental design. This was set up as a randomized complete block design. The reniform and the non-reniform field were set up in the same manner. It was four-row plots. Two were treated with vellum total as an in-furrow spray at 14 ounces an acre, and the other two were left untreated. And we had a total of five replications per trial. Data was analyzed with SAS 9.4, and means were compared using the Tukey-Cramers. For data analysis, we collected four plant root systems per plot, and we collected this to get plant parameters, which I'm not going to show today, but we also used this to get eggs per gram of root to get an idea of what our nematode counts were. So a few dates of note between the 2 years. In 2017, we planted on May 9th. We sampled on June 22nd, which was 44 days after planting, and we harvested on November 10th. In 2018, we planted on May 8th, sampled on June 13th, and then harvested on October 5th. And in the seven varieties we used, we had a cropland variety, we had two Delta Pine varieties, we had three Phytogen, and one Stonewool. So here's an example of one of the plots from our 2017 trial. You can see the two left, I keep losing the, here we go. All right, so we have the two on the left here are no vellum total plots, and then the two on the right we have the vellum total application. So you can see this classic kind of wavy pattern, uneven growth here where we have no nematicide. That's a very typical symptom of a potential nematode problem. So if we look at some of the data here, this is our eggs per gram of root from 2017. The red bars here are our eggs per gram of root from the no vellum total in the reniform field, and the blue bars next to it are the vellum total application in the reniform field. So across the board, we saw about a 92% reduction in our reniform eggs with the addition of vellum total. So this was pretty good. And of note, our population densities this year were very high. If we look at our cropland genetic or cropland variety here, and we had over 8,000 on average eggs per gram of root, which is really, really high. And then if we look at our yields, and all of the yields in this talk are in seed cotton, you can see here, if we break it down, traditionally I kind of went through these in an animation thing, but I had to upload the PDF, so it's kind of just throwing it all out at you. But if we focus first on the green and the yellow bars across the board, those are the no reniform field. So the green bar is a no reniform with no nematicide, and the yellow bar is a no reniform with vellum total. So you can see there really wasn't a big difference between those two across all varieties. And then if we look at the red bar, this is our reniform field with no nematicide, and the blue bar is the reniform field with the nematicide. So you can see we saw a pretty significant yield bump in our reniform field. And overall, we saw that if we look at our percentages here, we saw that reniform reduced our yield by about 58% when we did not use vellum total, and it reduced it by about 25% when we did. And then overall, we saw a yield bump with the addition of vellum total by about 2% in our non-reniform field, and then 55% in our reniform field. So that 55% was pretty exciting to see for the first year that we set up this trial. So then if we look at 2018, and this y-axis is the same scale as the previous year, so just to give you an idea of how much lower our reniform eggs per gram of root were this past year, they were much lower. But we still had about a 78% reduction of eggs per gram of root when we added vellum total. So we still saw a decrease even though our numbers were lower. And then if we look at yields, once again, this is set up the same exact way. Our yields were pretty much across the board were all higher in 2018 compared to 2017. And if we look at our green and yellow yields here, I think any farmer is going to be happy with the yields they're seeing with that in the non-reniform field. This is a pretty productive year at this location. Then you can see if with our red and our blue bars here, we didn't quite see the same yield bump as we did the previous year, which I guess is just part of applied research. 1 year it looks great, the next year not so great. But when we did look at the percentages here, we saw that reniform reduced our yield by about 41% when we did not use vellum total, and it reduced it by about 37% when we did. Then when we look at how vellum total increased our yields, we saw about a 6% yield bump in the non-reniform field with vellum total and about an 8% yield bump with vellum total. So it wasn't quite, we saw really different, pretty varying percentages in what happened between the 2 years. So that kind of got me wondering, you know, what factors might have kind of played into that and why we saw those differences. So the first thing I looked at was I calculated our DD60 for both years to see what our heat units were at when we sampled the two sampling dates, just to look at our nematode numbers, which were so different. What I found was that they were right around the same area. We pretty much sampled right around the same time. In 2017, we had about 683 heat units when we sampled, and then in 2018, about 635. So it really wasn't a big difference there. The next thing I looked at was I looked at some of our weather data. So I put together a lot of the weather data from the weather station on the in Belmina. You can see the red bars here are max temp for the day. Our blue bar is the minimum temp, and then these black columns on the bottom are rain events throughout the growing season. So I did this for 2017, and if you just keep in mind what this looks like here, couldn't really fit both years in the same slide well, so just bear with me on that one. But if you look at 2018, one thing that we did notice here was you can see how much less rain we had early on in the season, and I think that was pretty telling to why we didn't see the same nematode population. So when I graphed those out just to get an idea on a month-by-month average rainfall, we saw that we had about 2.5 times more rain by the time we sampled in 2018. Sorry, no, that's not right. In 2017, we had 2.5 times more rain compared to 2018. As well, the research station, their irrigation system, was not working until about halfway through June. So we had much, much less moisture present in our 2018 year early on compared to 2017. So I think we didn't see our nematodes starting to really infect our plant just because they didn't have favorable conditions until later in the growing season. So then when we compare just straight up looking at our nematode population densities between the 2 years, you can see that on average there's about a 68% reduction in our nematode populations from the 2017 year to the 2018 year. So on average when we look at this reniform field for 2017, and this is including nematicide-treated plots and non-nematicide, all plots in the reniform field. It was about 2,700 average eggs per gram of root. Compared to 2018, we saw about 860 eggs per gram of root. And then if we look at our yields, you can see here the big take-home is that for us, 2018 was just a better year for growing cotton at this research station. In the non-reniform field, we saw a yield increase of about 821 pounds per acre in the non-infested field, and then about a 444 pound per acre yield increase in the reniform infested field. So while our nematode numbers were lower early on in the growing season, overall we just had a better year for growing cotton. So to summarize, reniform populations can vary pretty significantly from one year to another, especially early on in your growing season. In 2017, we saw our reniform population densities on average were about 3 times higher than 2018. I think a large part of this is contributed to the fact that we had 2.5 times more rain by the sampling date in 2017 compared to 2018. And this led to an average yield difference of about 633 pounds per acre between both years. And then when we look at how vellum total performed over both years of the study, in 2017 we saw a yield bump of about 55%, and then in 2018 we saw about an 8% yield increase. So with that, I just want to say thank you, and if you have any questions, I'd love to take them at this time. So just kind of the overall early vigor between the two?
Earliness in terms of ready to harvest. So did you see those that were treated versus non-treated get to a point where they were harvest ready?
Typically, our reniform field is not harvested as early as our non-reniform field. We just see our for the most part, if you don't have nematodes, we have a better growing plant, and typically it's harvested earlier. We'll see our reniform field will be matured a little bit later, but as well as the way we run our station, we'll always go through the non-reniform field first before we go into the reniform field, just to make sure we're not moving our nematodes.
What about between treatments?
Between treatments? I didn't notice anything. Did you have?
Do you all do any sampling in your field in the fall to try to correlate and all that to
So for this field, traditionally, we'll only do one sample in the year, so we don't have fall sample numbers, unfortunately. But I do agree that those would be very valuable to have. It's just from a time standpoint, we don't have the time to go do it, unfortunately. But for this field specifically, the numbers here are so, so high that we expect it doesn't matter what you do, that reniform is going to be a major problem in this field. If the population was a little bit lower, then maybe that would be something to try and correlate. But of course, with this in this field, obviously we need to rotate the corn. I mean, that would be the, if this was a grower's field, we immediately need to rotate to something else. I would think so. I mean, like right now we're having, for where this area is, it's relatively warm and just a ton of rainfall. I suspect that we're, numbers will probably be pretty good out the gate this year, if I had to predict, but we'll find out.
One more question.
We did not. So in the non-field, we sprayed all plots as needed for thrips.
Thank you.
Thank you.